convene the Thursday, May 19, 2005, House Special Committee on Budget Subcommittee on Human Services and Public Safety. We will begin today with a work session on House Bill 5124 relating to the Oregon Military Department's budget. Susie Jordan is our legislative fiscal analyst.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have before you a memo with the information of what is in the military department budget as far as the packages and the technical adjustments. This budget has been approved by the Joint Ways and Means Subcommittee on Public Safety. The only change that's being made in the House budget is a 3% reduction in services and supplies. So I'm going to just kind of go through, summarize each of all of the technical adjustments and policy packages, and then hit the performance appraisals, and you can do a motion on the bill. On page 2, the technical adjustments, you'll see the column that says 3% services and supplies and capital outlay reduction totaling $227,999 in the military department budget in each of the three program areas, administration, operations, and community support. The other adjustments that were made are the AG rate reduction, PERS rate, and DAS assessment. The agency's policy packages are the Ochoco facility lease of $1.369 million, debt service $459,000. The unspecified National Guard appreciation package was removed from the budget to be dealt with the substantive bills later in the session. Package 110 were administrative positions adding one FTE, other funds. Package 201 is the 202 are the two air bases facilities increasing services for the I think it's the engineering operations and maintenance of the facilities. The Baker Readiness Center, $86,551, we shifted from general funds to other funds, as we did on Package 206, the Lane County Peace Maintenance Shop, of $70,940. Package 207 is the Army National Guard installation positions. These are federal funds. 211, Central Oregon Readiness Center, $60,000 general fund. And 212, Army National Guard, operations and maintenance, all federal funds. And Package 216, Kingsley Field and Portland Air Base Family Program, $19,350 federal funds. Package 217, position reclasses, all federal funds, $34,981. Package 218, converting limited duration positions to permanent positions. This, again, is 100% federal funds. Package 219, converting limited duration positions to full-time permanent at Camp Withigan, Withycum, $169,438 federal funds. Package 220, operation staffing levels increase, 4.5 FTE, $472,685 other funds. These other funds are actually other federal funds as well. And Package 403, converting one limited duration position to the Youth Challenge Program, in the Youth Challenge Program to a permanent position, $33,350 other funds and $50,000 federal funds. Total budget amount in the appropriation bill is $84,122,756 and 429.91 FTE. That is $15,629,146 total general fund in the four program areas, administration, operations, community support, and then debt service. $6,167,145 in other funds and $62,326,465 in federal funds.
Has there been any discussion about the proposed changes and shutdowns of federal bases, military bases in Oregon?
Mr. Chair, no. That came after the subcommittee met, and it is my understanding that this is a that any that it's a proposed shutdown of military bases. The only impact is on in the National Guard is on the Portland Air Base facility, and that is realignment with other bases. Some of the functions in that base would be realigned in other areas, and that would be phased in and wouldn't probably affect this budget.
Mr. Chair.
If it occurs.
Representative Wisnett.
I have two items. First, for the record, I would like to put on there that the $700,000 for National Guard appreciation package that's not recommended at this time to be funded, that's due to the other funding sources that are being and other bills that will cover that. So I'd like to go on record, you know, that we're not appreciative of our National Guard's efforts, and so that is being covered in other legislation and other packages. The second thing is Mrs. Jordan, I want to be sure that when the budget passed out of the Joint Committee, I was under the impression that the Youth Challenge Program is being funded. Can you confirm that that is being funded or is not being funded?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, the Youth Challenge Program is being funded at the current level in the governor's recommended budget. That's not 100%. It's not at 100%. They have more capacity, and they could receive additional federal funds if there was additional general fund match. But it is being funded at a reduced level than is authorized.
Okay. Mr. Chair, follow up.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I regret during the previous discussions then that I didn't realize that and didn't argue more for this program. We had a great presentation, Mr. Chair, on this program, and you talk about a program that produces results for the dollar. This program reduces or gets our risk kids, or kids are dropped out of school through school. Their success rate is unbelievably high, and I'm sorry that we didn't acknowledge or know that that was being cut. Maybe during the interim emergency board funding, we can look at trying to provide more, because this does produce, I think the committee would agree that in our testimony and the proof that we've been given and my personal experiences with the Youth Challenge Program, that this is money well spent, outcome-based results are there, and I'm disappointed that I did to myself that I didn't pick this up in this earlier, that we would have looked at increasing this funding. Accept responsibility for that, and I'm sorry, and hope that they'll be able to serve as many kids as they can successfully.
Okay, thank you for that. I think Ms. Jordan did mention that it is being maintained at what it has been in the past, but there is a greater capacity available. There's more of a match available if there was more general funds. Excuse me. So it's not being cut, but it's not being expanded.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanna.
I might also expand on that, and when we, I think after we saw the presentation, the reason there's more available is really that other areas of the country dropped the ball and didn't use the federal match that was potentially there. So we're not cutting the program per se. It's just that we could grow it because others dropped the ball, and this particular program is quite good and has been very successful.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, actually, the program was cut during the special sessions when the legislature was making adjustments statewide, and the program hasn't operated at its full capacity since the prior biennium. Mm-hmm. So it actually is cut, but not being cut for this biennium.
Right.
So
from
what
this
is the match on it?
It's a 60-40% match, 60% federal, 40% state.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you. And for further clarification for you, the school district gets money and helps pass that money on to this program. So it's, you know, they're using state school fund money for this, too.
I'm very much supportive of this program. It kind of harkens back to the way things were in the 60s when guys that were having some difficulty would go to court and a judge would say, we've got an option for you. And the option is you can either get military training and experience or you can get a record and do some time. And there was an amazing number of people that got training in boot camp. but it is very effective, and I'd like to see this expanded.
Mr. Chair, with your concurrence, I would move that we accept the FLO's amended changes to the budget for the Military Department, House Bill 5124.
Thursday, wasn't it? Proposes or moves that House Bill 5124 be amended, that we approve the technical adjustments and recommendations of our legislative fiscal office on the policy packages. Is there discussion? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. we've heard from the co-chairs that there will be no Christmas tree bill this year, but there will probably be something that won't be called the Christmas tree bill, but it'll be similar in nature, and this might be an area challenge that we might look to some form of modification or as the final bills are coming together at the end of session, that this is something that might deserve our attention and possibly look for some other opportunities to fund it later, because it does seem to be an effective program with significant federal match.
So noted. And that's true. There may be some adjustments, and this would be one that would be worth advocating for.
Comments
on the motion.
Yeah, follow up to Representative Hansen's. We may ask the Military Department, Colonel Caldwell, then to give us an amount of how much capacity they have and how much general funds would be. You have that.
So I do, good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Further comments on the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion to amend? Seeing none, motion is carried. Ms. Jordan.
Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, we'd like to welcome Kevin Cameron, who's sitting in today, to see how the integral workings of this complicated and complex area takes place. We're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. An additional item is the capital construction policy option packages. The agency has one package for $9,750,000, and that is all federal and other funds, and primarily for upgrades and construction at Camp Rylea over in Seaside or Warrington. Their Salem Mail Distribution Center they want to relocate the Mail Distribution Center outside of their administration building for security reasons, and Camp Withicum infrastructure upgrades. And the motion here would be to recommend approval to the whatever subcommittee will be hearing the capital construction bill.
Could you explain what that means?
That means that the capital...
Why are we doing it if it's going to be heard by another subcommittee?
Because the capital construction subcommittee would like to hear the recommendation from the subcommittee on the budget. And we normally get a recommendation from the subcommittee.
Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We did hear the presentation on these during the joint committee, and I would recommend that we submit to whatever committee our recommendation.
We don't know which committee it is yet.
Which, to the appropriate committee. How's
the
that?
House chair.
Or the House chair committee for consideration. We'll recommend approval on this construction project.
Okay. Representative Wisnett makes a motion that we recommend approval for a $7.750 million federal funds and $2 million other funds expenditure limitation in the capital construction bill, which is Senate Bill 5504, for construction above. Then this will be referred to another committee at the House Special Committee on Budget Chair's discretion.
Correct.
Is there any discussion? Is there an objection? Hearing none, it's passed.
Thank you. And last is the performance measures for the Oregon Military Department. The joint subcommittee added six additional measures to the agency's two. The agency had two measures. One was their percent of index of actual number of soldiers versus their force strength target number. The Department of Defense gives them a target and for each state, and they are to make an effort to reach that target and then some if they can to in order to maintain the units in Oregon. And the percent of statewide armories in adequate condition of readiness, the state is responsible for maintaining all the facilities that our National Guard members train in, and that is the state's contribution to the federal dollars that come to the state of Oregon. And finally, the subcommittee added comparing the number, the revenue generated from the facility rental to potential revenue capacity to increase their ability to operate and maintain those facilities. And then on the Youth Challenge Program, the subcommittee added percent of students graduating from academic phase, the percent of 17 and 18-year-olds completing their GED or high school diploma at graduation, and the number of students who are still in school or working 12 months after graduating the program. And then the percent of production for refurbished military equipment meeting the National Guard requirements. And then the final one are the customer service measures that all agencies are getting in their budgets.
So you're saying that we're going to give a series of targets to the military department?
Well, the targets, so we're at bullseye, exactly.
I mean, that seems appropriate. Well, it would take a motion to adopt the performance measures.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the performance measures for the military department with the additions, or the as with the additions.
Representative Wisenlund moves that we adopt the legislatively approved performance measures for 2005-07 for military department. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. Passes. Is there anything further before we have a final motion?
No.
Okay, the chair would entertain a final motion.
Mr. Chair. I move that we approve HB 5124 as amended to the full committee, full House Budget Committee, with a due pass recommendation with the amendments that we've approved.
Representative Wisenlund moves that House Bill 5124 as amended be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? None. It's ordered. And Representative Wisenlund, would you carry this?
It'd be my pleasure, sir.
All right, that will end our work session on House Bill 5124. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, committee. We'll now convene a work session on House Bill 5125, which is the budget for the Oregon Youth Authority. Sheila Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. The Oregon Youth Authority budget that's before you, our recommendation is that the budget include $206,928,473 general fund, $12,530,758 other funds, and $25,925,815 federal funds. And that includes 1,086 positions and 1,044.21 FTE. You can see that it's an increase from the 2003 biennium legislatively approved budget. That's primarily because of beds that were added back in the middle of the last biennium and two close custody facilities that are phased in for a full 24 months this biennium. Our recommendation is basically to approve the governor's budget with the changes as noted on page one of our May 19th memo, and I'll walk through those, and stop me at any point if you have questions. The first bullet there shows the recommendation that you restore $563,566 general fund to restore the governor's reduction to the Multnomah County Gang Intervention Program. So that brings the program back to a $2.5 million general fund funding level. This Multnomah County Gang Intervention Program is a program that has been ongoing for, I believe, at least a decade, and helps Multnomah County deal with the youth gang problem up in that area. I will note that the emergency board in January approved some one-time funding to expand funding for other areas in the state, but that's not carried forward into this budget. The discussion at the time was that was a one-time infusion of money and not an ongoing appropriation. The second bullet shows the technical changes in this budget that you'll see in all the other budgets for the public employment retirement system rate adjustment and the reduction in the attorney general rates. And those are taken in two places. If you get into the orbits detail, you can see package 140 is adjusted and package 801 is adjusted. The third bullet reflects the improved federal Medicaid match rate, similar to those of you who have been in the Human Services Subcommittee, the Department of Human Services budget. The Oregon Youth Authority has foster care programs and some treatment programs that include a Medicaid piece to them, so they get federal match on those expenditures at about a 60-40 rate, 60% federal funds, 40% state funds. But that rate fluctuates depending on how well Oregon's economy is doing relative to the rest of the nation's economy. And the measure does lag somewhat. In this case, it's to our benefit, for this purpose anyway, that our economy has not been doing as well as the rest of the nation, because we get a slightly enhanced federal Medicaid match rate. So there's a savings of $294,490 general fund, which is replaced with federal funds in their budget. And then we recommend that the other funds in the agency's budget be reduced by $486,174. In looking at the expenditures tied to expected grants, it seemed like there was some excess limitation in there for which they had not yet received grants, and based on the history, probably wouldn't receive grants during the upcoming biennium. If this reduction is problematic for them and they do have some additional grant money that they receive during the biennium and need more limitation, they can come to the emergency board to get that. And then the last bullet there reflects the 3% general fund reduction in services and supplies and capital outlay expenditures. For this agency, that reduction totals $781,066 general fund. So if you go into the Orbitz work session detail, I won't, but if you do, you can see where those adjustments are taken, both at the agency level and then on the individual program units. On the top of page two of my memo, I note that the funding in this budget continues the current close custody facility capacity for the agency at 850 funded beds. So that's where the agency ends up the biennium. That's where they'll remain under this budget for the 2005-07 biennium. I also note that on average it is 287 beds, or about 25%. Short of where the forecast population would be based on the Office of Economic Analysis' April 2005 forecast. So, in effect, in looking at what potentially you could be funding to meet the demand for close custody capacity beds, this budget falls about 25% short of that demand. So our appropriation bill amendment, our conceptual amendment, is attached with the numbers that reflect the overall recommendation. The general fund appropriation for this agency is line itemed into operations, debt service, and then capital improvements. So they have three separate line items for those types of general funds expenditures. And the other funds budget for the agency does include some other funds as federal funds, so those are referenced in Section 2 of the conceptual amendments. And then Section 3 addresses the federal funds expenditure limitation. So that's our recommended budget for the agency.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Representative Hanna.
Thank you. Ms. Baker, yesterday I had some conversation with you about the 3% general fund reduction in services and supplies, and then it goes on to say, and capital outlay expenditures. If we look at the conceptual amendment, help me relate the capital improvement 611-891. Are we using the same terminology, capital improvement and capital outlay?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, no. Capital improvements is a budget appropriation line. It includes some services and supply expenditures and some capital outlay expenditures. But there are also a small amount of capital outlay elsewhere in the agency's budget. And so it's not the reduction in the capital improvements line from the governor's budget is not all of the capital outlay reductions in the agency. So they're two different pieces of budget categories, I guess is the appropriate way to say that.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
As I understood it, the total capital outlay was the $458,980, which we looked up yesterday. So there are none of the same items in the $458,980 as in the $611,891. Would that be correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, there is some overlap. In fact, most of the capital outlay in the agency's budget is in that capital improvements line, but not all of it.
Follow-up again, Mr. Chair. This is where this gets confusing on this 1, 2, 3, 4. On the fifth bullet point, when you say the additional 3% general fund reduction in services, supplies, and capital outlay, the agency and some information that they provided says the 3% reduction on the four categories, funding for needs for youth and facilities, is 75% of the total reduction. Well, if 75% of that total reduction, that means 25% of the reduction is in the capital outlay, and I still can't get to that number. And I'm still confused with, if 25% of the reduction is capital outlay, which of the two numbers does it come from? And I just can't make it work. And
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, I believe what the agency was referring to that is that of the services and supplies reductions in the budget. Services and supplies is a budget category, and there are a number of line items that build that services and supplies budget, if you would, which would include things like facilities, maintenance, rent and taxes, medical costs for the youth in the facilities. So that's all part of their services and supplies budget. And then the capital outlay budget are expenditures for things, I believe the threshold is $5,000, and longer-term kinds of expenditures. And so those categories are, depending on the budget structure, it may or may not have capital outlay expenditures in it. So I think that as I approach the 3% reduction, I can tell you how much of that total reduction, the 781,066, was from services and supplies across the agency, and how much was from capital outlay. And then I can also tell you how much of that capital outlay came from the capital improvements budget category. So let's try it that way.
Let me follow up before you do, if I can, please. Mr. Chair, to the point of this, follow up, please. Does this committee have the authority to make the recommendation that the 3% reduction come from items like travel instead of coming from items like pharmaceutical supplies or that type of thing. Do we have the authority to make the direction of the cut rather than just to say you're going to take a 3% cut in supplies?
Yes, we have the authority, but it's the kind of thing, since we're in work session on a phase three of a three-phase program, that would be brought up between phase two and phase three, and if that was very important to the committee, we would recess and then go and discuss it with LFO and with the co-chair or the chair of the House committee, because you know it's a kind of a coordinated effort. So it's the difference between do we have the authority and is it wise to execute that authority or exercise that.
Mr. Chair, if I can follow up, the House budget anticipates, I believe it's about $25 million overall from the 3% reduction in services and supplies and capital outlay in all agencies. There's no exceptions in terms of what line items are part of the services and supplies budget. In this agency, you have significant services and supplies expenditures in those categories I mentioned, the facilities-related ones, and also in state government service charges. And in most agencies, in fact, you will have significant state government service charges as a part of their services and supplies line item. Now, if you chose to make an exception or not direct the 3% reduction to those line items, if you don't redirect it to something like travel, as you suggested, the House budget overall will be out of balance. If you do try to redirect it, the issue becomes, are there enough other expenditures that you could get that same 3% dollar amount out of? In this agency, I can look up the number, but the travel budget is nowhere close to the other medical expenditures, for example. And so if you make an exception for those, what you might consider to be more essential services and supply expenditures, you may not be able to pull out the full 3% dollar amount that you need from the other categories. My recommendation would be that at this point, because the House budget does call for that 3% reduction and it has been applied across all agencies, my recommendation would be that if you have some issues with how it's applied, that be a discussion with the House Budget Committee chair and co-chair, and that particularly because the Senate is not taking that same reduction, at some point these bills will have to either go to conference committee or there will have to be some reconciliation between the two. I think if there is an adjustment to be made, it could be made at that reconciliation point. So my recommendation would be, despite the problematic nature of this 3% reduction for this agency, given that some of those costs are high dollar item and fixed costs, that you nonetheless approve the 3% reduction, move the bill forward at this point, and then deal with the issue in this and other agencies where it is problematic.
Mr. Chair,
further discussion? Mr. Chair. I'm not going to say that this is going to get in the way of doing this, but when you wave a wand across all fronts and they are not all the same, it becomes problematic. And if you say 3% of some number, and it's a large number, that works out fine. If you then take that services and supply budget and you squeeze it down and take out, say, pharmaceuticals, or squeeze it down and take out government service charges, which an agency like this is top heavy in, but just because of the nature of their service, then taking whatever percentage of what is left is a bigger knock. And I think we need to pay close attention to how this works within each agency, and you know these folks are going to have to work hard to get there. I'm probably prepared to move forward, but I really believe we're going to have to work hard on you know, what works for one doesn't necessarily work across the board for all, and it's a point we're going to have a lot of discussion around.
I'm open for further discussion on that issue at this point if there's other committee members that feel very strongly about this.
I do, and he said it best. I won't repeat it, but I definitely support that activity. I would support that. And I know I'm new to this, but his point's well taken on the overall broad brush approach, and I understand the need to take savings where we can, but there are some areas, and like you said, that some places just may need it more to achieve our overall goals. So definitely support it.
Further discussion on any of these issues? Is this an area that you feel so strongly on that you think we should recess and go and meet with the House Chair of our Budget Committee, or can we proceed but discuss this with LFO and with him as this process continues?
Mr. Chair, follow up. In my opinion, this is not a stop-all. It is to make the point that this doesn't necessarily... I'm probably prepared to move this budget forward, mm-hmm. knowing that we still have conference committee to get through and other...
Right, other opportunities.
Further opportunity to make this right. But I do think it needs to be noted. I know LFO has worked hard on making this right. They're in a difficult position, as we are. And there's going to be room to correct some of the problems within this. So from my standpoint, this is not a stop. It is simply to the point that...
This is across-the-board cuts. Are not fair.
Yeah. I'm all for taking good care of how we're spending the state's money. But there are certain things, I've said it. You're not going to go back and get a cut on the price of pharmaceuticals, nor is DAS going to give you a break just because you're taking a 3% reduction. I mean.
Okay. Well, it is noted. Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One possible solution on this might be to craft a budget note that applies to the whole budget in terms of the 3% service cuts, in terms of some types of guidelines or criteria to address this. For example, if this agency, the trending we seem to see is, like on pharmaceuticals, is significant inflationary increases all the time. Well, if they, in this agency, if they got hit with a 10 or 11% pharmaceutical increase in the next biennium, achieving 3% overall services and supply cut could be real problematic.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the overall 3% cuts in services and supplies does generate $25 million for other budgets, but we might craft some type of guidance in terms of either exceptions or ways to approach the emergency board, or maybe identify some dollars in the emergency board to take care of specific problems that come up, but give a little more guidance to the agencies in terms of how we want this achieved without cutting their flexibility, because my sense is they're going to need a great deal of flexibility in order to make these cuts.
Well, committee members, we all can be reminded that the goal is not to prevent any agency from performing their functions and their necessary duties, and that we do have the emergency board, which will have some funding, and if the cuts in any of the budgets that we're making become overly burdensome, then they have the ability to come in and say, here's the situation. We have an increase in pharmaceutical costs, and therefore we need additional money to make things work, and the emergency board has the ability to grant that. And so there is a mechanism for them to receive help if they need it, if that becomes necessary. Further discussion?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. That soothes me a little bit, too. And I'm obviously not going to move to break now either, but I agree, and I appreciate your guardianship of this.
Thank you. If there's no further discussion, we would be
Mr. Chair. I would move that the LFO recommended budget with adjustments as noted be approved.
Representative Hanna moves that the LFO recommendations be approved as they've been presented. Is there discussion? Representative Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be supporting the motion, but I think it should be on the record that this is still going to be a problematic budget. I was involved in government in the early 90s when we basically pre-major election and I see the same type of dynamic occurring now that occurred in the late 80s, and that was as we reduced funding and reduced programs, and in this case we've reduced bed space by approximately 25% below what's projected as being needed. Those are the most difficult kids and the most problematic kids that need the most services. So that 25% that's not going to be served under this budget then get stay in their community, and yet we haven't increased community funding to deal with them. So these kids will take a disproportionate amount of the service dollars that are available for community programs, which again pushes down that the kids that maybe are the most susceptible for intervention at this point probably are the ones that aren't going to be served. And eventually, the kids with the most acute problems that are the biggest threats to safety in our community are going to absorb more and more of the percentage of the dollars available, which leaves another group of kids that would be susceptible for some fairly cost-effective interventions are the ones that will be dropped out. And if we continue, this was the pattern we had in the early 80s, the payback then is, as the kids were early intervention might have made a difference, or earlier intervention, they won't be served. Their problems will increase, and that puts more pressure back on the system. So we get into a kind of a downward spiral where we're having more expensive problems to fix later. And this budget fits well within the frameworks. I'm very pleased to see the Multnomah County gang intervention money come back in, but we're setting a case biennium after biennium since the crash in 2001 that we're underfunding services that are going to keep people out of the penitentiary, keep people out of the youth authority, and it's at some point we've got to put more resources into this program where we're going to be paying for it, have significant costs developed later, as well as significant impact to families and to victims and other problems. So it's a reluctance to support this, although it does fit. You know, I know this is probably all we can do within the framework that's been presented to us.
Further discussion? Motion? Does your motion include performance measures or not?
No.
Okay.
We'll go.
All right. Is there objection? Seeing none, motion carries.
Moving forward. You will note there's no proposed budget notes for this agency, but there is another issue that you might want to discuss, and that's the agency review relative to the Boyles case, the former parole and probation officer that's been charged with sexual abuse on several issues.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mrs. Baker. Mr. Chair, what I would recommend, I guess, is at this point that we request from Director Jester that he provide you a letter stating his intent to brief this committee, since the Joint Committee Ways and Means Committee on Public Safety is no longer in being, and that was the direction that that committee had given Director Jester to report on their committee that they had formed and contracted for to look into this matter. That I would suggest Mr. Director Jester provide you a letter saying he will. I think the report was due the 1st of June, so I would suggest that hope that Mr. Director Jester would be able to report to this committee soon after that in a meeting about their actions and what's the results of the committee that they contracted for to look into all this action.
Okay. Representative Wisnant, that's so noted. And now for the record, Representative Jester is indicating in the affirmative that a letter will be presented and that there will be a meeting scheduled when that report is available.
The next item in my memo that I talk about is the performance measure review. The agency, when it presented its performance measures to the Joint Joint Public Safety Subcommittee, the subcommittee had many comments on the performance measures. Part of it related to how the activity or the outcomes were reported. Several of the measures reported in terms of rate, for example, per 100 youth days, which is probably not as understandable as some other type of measure, and so they've reworked several of their measures to just report numbers. For example, performance measure 1, number of completed escapes, walkaways, and away without leave per fiscal year. They've also separated out the measure or several measures related to injuries to track separately how many injuries were youth-to-youth injuries, youth-to-staff injuries. They're not reporting on accidents, which had been part of the previous measure. They have reworked the measure relative to attempted suicides, and then they've reworked measures related to risk needs assessments and educational programs as well.
I think that we've had an opportunity to see this, and I'm assuming that since we received this earlier that we've looked it over. I'd like to just have any questions on them be brought up that might affect whether or not we approve them. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say that this agency engaged in very productive dialogue during the prior committee conferences. They were one of the most responsive, and that these performance measures more directly reflect performance of the agency, and it was nice to work with them and the fact that they had a dialogue back and forth, and I think that what you have is a set of performance measures that are reflective of what they do and measures some outcomes that are good. With that, Mr. Chair, I would recommend that the performance measures as modified be approved.
Representative Hanna has moved that performance measures as presented should be approved. Is there discussion? Representative Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I concur with what Representative Hanna said, and these are going to be much more readable and understandable. And a lot of it's measuring similar things that were previously measured, but I think this will be a much clearer way to portray them.
I've reviewed them as well. I think the changes are very appropriate. Just as kind of a general comment, with changes, we need to be careful that we try and get them where they need to be and then leave them, because every time we make changes, that ends the ability to look back over time, because theoretically you get performance measures that are going to work, and then you can say, all right, how has it been over the last 3 biennia, where every time we make changes, then we're starting fresh because there's nothing to compare it to in the past. These are certainly appropriate changes, and I think they'll be much more responsive to the goal of performance-based, outcome-based measurements, not activity-based. And so I fully agree with both of the comments that these are appropriate and necessary changes. Are there other comments on the performance measures? Is there any objection to the acceptance of these performance measures as they've been presented? Seeing none, carries. Is there anything else you need to bring up before we have a final vote?
No.
All right. The chair would entertain a final motion.
Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House Bill 5125 as amended to the full House Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hanna moves that House Bill 5125 as amended be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, motion carries. And with that, we end the work session on House Bill 5125. And are there any other matters before this subcommittee? Seeing none, stand adjourned.
Mr. Chair, do we know what we're doing Monday?
Thank you.